was telling me.
She said, we sat for a good while. She said, if you think of him next Sunday, let us stand.
And so I thought, well, okay, I'm going to. And the way things did, I thought, well, I'll let you stand while I'm reading Scripture. So in Luke chapter 7, I want to pick up down verse number 36. And we'll read the latter part of this chapter. In Luke chapter 7, verse 36, it says, one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat and ate in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had pinned him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave the most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. That is verse 36 through 50, that which the Lord's impressed on my heart. You can be seated. We have recorded for us the story of a man that is of Harris. And all we know is that his name is Simon. We know that he invited Jesus to come and eat with him. But we don't know why. We don't know the reason that he asked him to come. But he did, and Jesus came to eat with him. It's a custom of the day, thus when they met and ate, because they had an heart opening in their homes, and they would gather around the table, around the floor. And they had pallets that they were low to the ground, and they would lay on their left side, kind of like a couch, a low-lying couch, and they would lie with their feet hanging behind them, laying on their left arms, and they would eat with their right hand, and they would lay around the table in such a manner. And that's how they would be in that hour. But at the same time, they would leave the doors of the houses open. People in the neighborhood would often come in, and they would mingle up out. They would listen to the conversations of that was taking place, going on around the table. But on that particular occasion, something unusual took place, because the Bible tells us that there was a woman described as only as a sinner. This woman makes her way into the room. She comes behind where Jesus is, and for a little while she stands behind him. Then suddenly tears begin to run down her face, and they begin to fall, and they wet his feet. She stoops down, begins to wipe his feet with her
hair.
And she continues to walk, to cry. And she takes the ointment that she has brought in. And she takes that ointment and pours it on his feet. Simon sees what is happening, and Simon is thinking with him himself. And he says with him himself, if Jesus knows what kind of woman that this really is, that he would stop her from touching his feet. So Jesus, knowing what Simon is thinking, he says to Simon, Simon, I have a story I'd like to tell you. So Simon says, go ahead. So he relates the little parable. He tells him, Simon, there was a man that was a creditor. And he asked to him that owes him a debt. There is one that owes him 500 pence. That would amount to 2 years' wages. And he says that the other man owes him 50 pence. That would be 2 months' wages. And he says to Simon, but here's the problem. He says, Simon, either one has the ability to pay what they owe. So the creditor forgives them both their debt. So I ask you, which one do you think Simon was loving the most? So Simon gives the obvious answer. And he says, well, surely the one that owed him the most. And Jesus says, Simon, you have answered right. And he went on to say about how this woman had been forgiven so much, and she loved the Lord so much. That's why that she did what she did. But I said all of those things because it brings to my mind that I am afraid that we as Christians, that we often forget a lot of things we need to remember. I remember reading sometime years ago about somebody asking the old preacher Gypsy Smith a question when he was in his 80s. They asked that old preacher, they said, how is it that you in your 80s have such a freshness to your ministry and your preaching? His answer was, I have never lost the wonder. He said, I've never lost the wonder. I've said that because I'm afraid that there's a lot of Christians that have lost the wonder about serving Jesus. I mean, we still do the right things. We still go to the right places. We still believe the right truth. We still stand for the right truth. But I'm afraid that we're not moved by those things like we once were. I believe that this lady that is in this story, this unnamed woman, I believe the reason she did what she did was that she had a wonder in her heart about him. I believe there were two things that took place in her heart that I want to give you, and I'm done. First of all, I believe that she had not lost the wonder of who was in the house. She hadn't lost the wonder of who was in the house. I said a while ago, I don't know why Simon invited Jesus. I don't know if there was a curiosity about this peasant preacher. I don't know if he was thinking, if I can get Jesus to my house, that maybe I can find some fault with him. Maybe he thought, if I can get Jesus here, then I can tell him how to better run his ministry. Maybe he was thinking, if I had Jesus at my house, then people will look at me better. I don't know what he thought, but I do know this. I do know that he really didn't care about who Jesus was. And I fight that because what Jesus says in verses 44 through 46. In those verses, Jesus says, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet." Verse 45, "Thou gavest me no kiss." Verse 46, "My head with oil thou didst hot and anoint. None of those things Simon hid." You realize it was common courtesy to do all of those things when somebody came in their house. It was common courtesy to give them water to wash their feet. It was common courtesy to give them some anointing oil to freshen them up. It was common courtesy to kiss their cheek to welcome them into their house. But Jesus said, "Simon, you did none of those things." That tells me Simon cared nothing about who Jesus was. But here was a woman that all Simon recognized her as a sinner. That word indicates she'd been a prostitute. But she recognized who Jesus was. She realized who he was all about. She didn't care what anybody thought about her. She didn't care what anybody said about her. All she had on her thoughts, she wanted to see Jesus. Can I just ask this today? Then I'm moving on. Why are we here today? Why are we in the house of God today? Did we come for any other reason than to see him? I want to tell you, that ought to be the only reason to show up in his house, is to worship him. That's it. That was why she was there that day. It was because of Jesus. Jesus is going to even tell it because she had been forgiven much, because she loved much. That ought to be the reason why that we've been here today. It's because we love him much. It's because of what he's done for us. It's because of him. Did I ask today, why do we show up under such unusual circumstances? I mean, wearing face masks, having temperatures checked, and dealing with COVID situations, social distancing, and all of those things. Why do we show up? It's because of Him. Because of Him. That's why I'm here. Say, preacher, you ought to come because it's Sunday and you're here to preach. Well, that's part of it, but I'm here to preach because of Him. I'm here to worship because of Him. I'm here because of Him. There's a day in Matthew chapter 18. The disciples were in a deep theological discussion. I mean, man, they were in a deep discussion. Say, preacher, what was it about? They were arguing who's the greatest among them. Boy, don't you know that thrilled the Lord? When they argued about which among them's the greatest. You know what Jesus did? He got a little child, set it right in the midst. Here's what he said. He said, "Fairly I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." Why did Jesus say children? Why? Why did he put a child among them? What is it? What is it about children for Jesus to do and say that? I think here's part of it. It's because children haven't lost the wonder. To children, everything's still fascinating. To children, everything's new. To children, anything can happen. I remember when our kids were little, they're all grown up. But I remember when our kids were little, man, we'd spend $25, $30 on a toy. We thought it would fascinate them. And I remember seeing them open that box, tear the paper open on Christmas Day, and open that box, lay the toy aside 5 minutes later, and get the box and play like it was a car, an airplane, or a train, or something else. And I remember on occasions, me and Alice looking at each other, saying, "Why, we've been well off just giving them a box." Why? Because they're fascinated with things like that. They still have wonder about them. They have that excitement about them. I want to tell you, that's just how children are. Children are. They're fascinated by simple wonders. Jesus was telling the disciples, that's how I want you to be. I want you to be fascinated with the simple wonders of God. I want you to be fascinated with the things of God. I want to tell you, we get over that as we get older. Children can still walk out and look at the sky and be amazed at those things. Children can still walk out and look down at a bug and look at it for a long time, be fascinated at a bug on the ground. We walk out and step on them and crunch and walk on. But they can be fascinated at the wonders of a bug. I want to tell you, we've lost the wonder of God and His amazingness. Jesus said, be like little children. And I want to tell you, children are just trusting. Trusting. I never had a time with our kids when they were little coming up to me or Alice and saying, "Mom, are we going to have enough to eat? Are we going to be able to get by? Are you going to have money to pay our bills and have power?" They just trusted it's all going to be all right. trust it, because that's just children. Jesus said, I want you to just be like children. Be like that. One day we've about lost the wonder of who he is. About lost the wonder of who he is. I'll tell you, she hadn't lost the wonder of who's in the house. Have you lost that wonder? I want to be just captivated of who's in the house. I want to again just be captivated of who he is. His awesomeness. His wondrous power. Just to realize my God's a big God and he can just do anything. My God's an amazing God and he can just do astounding things. We say, man, we've got some big issues here, but I've got a big God. I've got an amazing God. I've got an awesome God. He can handle big things. You say, but preacher, you don't know how big this is. You just don't know how big my God is. I've got a big God, amazing God. We've lost the wonder of who's in the house. But she didn't lose the wonder of what had happened in her heart. She didn't lose the wonder of what had happened in her heart. I said a while ago that when Simon saw her, he saw her as a sinner. He said if he knew what kind of woman she was, she's a sinner woman, prostitute in the street. That was her reputation. That's when Jesus gave that little parable, the story. Of the great debts. Jesus said, you know, whenever they neither one could pay, creditor frankly forgave them both. That little phrase, frankly forgave, those are words that speak of grace. It's the idea the creditor showed grace. You see, when Simon saw her, he saw her past. When Jesus saw her, he saw grace at work. He saw her in grace. Because what Jesus saw, he saw her as forgiven. That's what he says about it. In verse 47, Jesus says, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Are forgiven. That means they are forgiven in the past and remain forgiven. Her sins are forgiven. She has been forgiven. That's why she did what she did. That's why she came. That's why she is so captivated by him. That's why she showed up. That's why she stood behind weeping. That's why she was wiping her feet with her his feet with her tears. That's why she was worshiping. She knew she had been forgiven. I want to tell you, don't ever kid over that. Don't ever kid over where he found you. Don't ever kid over realizing he's headed for hell till one day Jesus came by. Do you remember where he picked you up at? Boy, I remember that Sunday morning he passed by Poplar Springs and picked me up. I was lost, headed for hell. He picked me up, saved me by his grace. Do you remember where he picked you up? Some of you may have picked you up right here in this altar. Some of you may have been right here on this side. It may have been in another church. It may have been at home by your bedside or by a couch. Do you remember where he picked you up at? Don't ever get over that. Don't ever get over where he found you at. I want to tell you, that's why she remembered. She never lost the wonder of what had happened in her heart. She never got over the change. I want to tell you, there's a wondrous picture of redemption found in the book of Hosea. I love that book of little book of Hosea. Hosea married a, just give you this just a few minutes and I'm about done. Hosea married a woman named Gomer. And Gomer left and went out and played the harlot. And word came to Hosea one day and said, she's down on the slave block being sold. Hosea, God said, go down, buy her. I want you to go down, get her. Hosea went down. There she was. I can imagine, I'm kind of taking a little bit of liberty here. But I can about imagine Hosea going standing in a crowd. He sees Gomer. I can imagine the years of sin were showing on her. I can imagine it took its toll on her face. That beauty was gone. Probably her hair was matted. Her rags toed out. They weren't the nice clothes that he had probably seen her wear. She was on the auction block. And Hosea heard the penny no doubt begin. Somebody said, I'll give one piece of silver. Somebody over here says, well, I'll give two pieces of silver. Hey, wait a little. Somebody, I'll give three pieces of silver. Hosea speaks up and says, I'll pay 15 pieces of silver and a homer and a half of barley. I might imagine that Gomer thought, that's a voice I hadn't heard in a long time. Probably somebody in the crowd chuckles and laughs, says, she ain't worth that kind of money. Hosea says, she is to me. She looks up to see his eyes and he sees her. The auctioneer probably says, going once, going twice, sold. The Bible says, Hosea says this, so I bought her for me for 15 pieces of silver and for an homer and a half of barley. And I said to her, thou shalt abide with me for many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. You say, what's Hosea saying? I can imagine Hosea went and put his arm around her. Led her back down to the house. And said, I paid the price for you. Now you're mine. And I'm yours. For good. And they went home. I thank God that there was a day that I was on the auction block. And there'd probably been some looked at me and said, he ain't worth nothing. But the Lord said, he's worth it for me. And so he went to the cross, paid the price. And now when he looks at me, he says, I'm yours and you're mine. And we'll go home together. Forever. You say, preacher, does that do anything for you? That's why I just want to bow at his feet and thank him for what he's done for me. I can only do it around a place like this and at home and wherever I can. But boy, there's going to come a day that I'm going to see him face to face. And I'm going to be able to bow before him. And I'm really going to be able to thank him and praise him and worship him for what he's done for me. I don't ever want to be ashamed of my tears. She wasn't. I don't ever want to be ashamed to honor him. Do you realize what she did in that day? She wept. She let down her hair. Do you realize for a woman to let down her hair in public was a disgrace? That was public shame and disgrace. For a woman in public to let down her hair, because that was her glory. But she didn't care. She gave him her glory. I just want to give him my glory. I want to just give him my honor because of who he is. He's worthy. He's worthy. Jesus said to Simon, seest thou this woman? All Simon could see was a sinner woman. The world don't see a whole lot in us. Do you know that? They don't see a whole lot in us. But Jesus saw one of his own. He saw one of his own. She hadn't forgot who he was, hadn't lost the wonder. Have you lost the wonder today? That's the message. That's some thoughts the Lord's put on my heart. She hadn't lost the wonder of who was in the house. And she hadn't lost the wonder of what had happened in her heart. And she honored and worshiped him. I challenge you today, don't lose the wonder. I know the way things that they are right now is different. And I know it's not easy. It's not comfortable the way things are. It's difficult. I know that. But don't lose the wonder. I still want to see him. I still want to worship him. I still want to magnify him because he's worthy. He's worthy. Betty, if you'll come to the piano, let's stand to our feet. There may be someone today, there's a need in your heart. Maybe today you have sensed in your life a coldness creeping in. I don't know. Come and bow on an altar. Say, Lord, draw me closer. Draw me error. Help me today.